Shalom, everybody, and we welcome you to this week's 5-Minute Update, where we examine the last week's news events and correlate that to major Bible prophecies of the end of days, where we focus on the current status of the Israeli-Palestinian peace process, possible war with Iran, the status of the U.S. and the world economy. And the reason why we do so is that the Bible outlines that the end of days, that the nations will divide the land of Israel, Joel chapter 3 and verse 2, and the city of Jerusalem, Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 2. That will result in judgment of the nations, which will be war between the nations and economic collapse. In having war between the nations and economic collapse, the world will restructure, reorganize from that into one world government, one world currency. And during this time is when the God of Israel is going to end the exile of the 12 tribes of Israel. Ephraim and Judah is going to be united in return to the land of Israel through signs, wonders, and miracles, and the Messiah will be glorified and revealed through this process. Well, I'd like to begin by sharing with you an update regarding Mark, and praise God that Mark is a living miracle. It was miraculous that he was found in time, sustained to be alive, that he was conscious, and him being taken to the hospital, and then the doctors didn't know if he would make it through the night, and then he had a very rapid recovery from his condition that very first night. And we believe that it was because of your prayers and your love that you have expressed for Mark, and the God of Israel answering our prayers. And so Mark is now out of the hospital, and he is at a rehab center. And here, a couple of days ago at the rehab center, he had a day or two of pneumonia, but believe he's over the pneumonia now as well. And he was sitting up, talking, and even did some walking on his walker. And so we want to thank you for your tremendous outpouring of support, not only with your prayers, but your efforts to help Mark financially during this difficult time for him and his family as well. When we shared with Mark what you did, he was absolutely overwhelmed. And believe me, what you have done for Mark, showing your love, care, concern, financial support, has deeply touched Mark. And Mark is in the process of trying to put together something that he could share with you and share with the Pal Talk audience as well. So thank you so much for that support. The next thing I'd like to share with you is that for those of you who several weeks ago listened to the testimony of Bishop Solomon Coker, he was with me in my recent trip through Texas, and then we went on to Oklahoma to be relocating, and his new base is going to be in Amarillo, Texas. He's actually going to Amarillo, Texas tomorrow, which is Sunday. I believe tomorrow is April the 4th. And so he is available for any of you who would like to invite him to come and share with your church, your local congregation, your fellowship group. He would be very excited and delighted with your invitation. He already has a variety of invitations in Amarillo, Lubbock, and in the New Mexico area right now. So If you are interested in having Bishop Solomon come and share with your group, you may contact him. So at this time, I'm going to have Bishop Solomon come and share a few words regarding his relocation and what you need to do if you're interested in having him come and speak and share to your group. Bishop Solomon?
Thank you, sir. Praise God. Good morning, everyone. This is a great joy to speak to you through Ustream from Hebraic Heritage Ministries once again. When I was with Brother Eddie in Texas at GLC a few weeks ago, we just received overwhelming response from people. And people invited me to their congregations in Lubbock and Amarillo. And when people got instantly healed, people saw miracles right there. We took testimonies and people received their healing. And after that, people were encouraged. Their faith was strengthened. So people asked me to come be there. So I'm excited going over there, but at the same time I'm sad. I had wonderful 2.5 months staying with Brother Eddie here and with the congregation. And when I'm saying I'm going to Texas, it doesn't mean that I'm leaving this congregation. I'm part of this team. I'm part of this congregation. I'm this bond that God has started between me and Brother Eddie, my ministry, and the message of truth that Brother Eddie shares, that is going to continue ever. So I'm thankful for all your support as well. And when I shared my testimony on Pal Talk, many people wrote to me, sending prayer requests, and definitely I got, I can't remember how many emails I got that said, Bishop, please pray that God would pour out Holy Spirit, the move of the Spirit on Hebraic Roots Ministries, or Hebraic Roots Movement. And this is our goal. This is the purpose. We are standing before the God of Israel, and I am going to do a series of services in Texas, wherever I would be, around Shavuot, and asking God to pour out His Spirit in a way that has never been on Hebraic Roots Movement and otherwise as well. And that's what we want. I mean, we can't choose just the Word and not the Spirit. Truth and Spirit must come together. That is the design for us being believer in Yeshua, Jesus Christ. And I appreciate, once again, I appreciate Brother Eddie and all the congregation members. And I will be in contact. And I'm going to be in Wichita, Kansas, 16th through 18th this April. And you can send me email. You can call me at my phone, 225-678-5035. 225-678-5035. And I'm here to serve God's people who are hungry to see the power of God, and you will not be disappointed if you believe in God's power. Thank you. Shalom. Yes, my web address, you could go to www.bskm.org, and email is info@bskm.org. Thank you. Shalom. Brother Eddie.
A couple other announcements before we actually go into the articles for this week. Same weekend that Bishop Solomon is going to be in Wichita, Gary Katz of Bond Servant Ministries is hosting a conference in North Carolina. Myself and Rico Cortez and others are going to be there. And then the following weekend, I'm going to be speaking in Virginia. And then my next trip to Texas is going to be the first week of May, actually. And then the second week of May, I'll go on to Oklahoma. And so for those of you who may be interested in going to Wichita or going to the conference in North Carolina or seeing me in Virginia, please go to my website. You go to Hebrews.org, Hebrews.com, or EddieChumney.com, and we have the information posted there on the website and the details regarding it. And of course, we would encourage you to come. And in addition to hearing wonderful teaching, and it's a way to link up and have fellowship with others. So let's get on then with the articles this week. And most of this week's articles is going to deal with the current status of the Israeli-Palestinian peace process. And so the first article is from Haaretz.com, March the 29th. The headline is, Israel fears that Obama is heading for an imposed Mideast settlement. U.S. President Barack Obama demands during his meeting with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu last Tuesday to an intention to impose a permanent settlement on Israel and the Palestinians in less than 2 years, political sources in Jerusalem say. Israeli officials view the demands that Obama made at the White House as the tip of the iceberg under which lies a dramatic change in U.S. policy toward Israel. Of 10 demands posed by Obama, 4 deal with Jerusalem, opening a Palestinian commercial interest office in East Jerusalem, an end to the raising of structures in Palestinian neighborhoods in the capital, stopping construction in Jewish neighborhoods in East Jerusalem, and not building the neighborhood that was announced where the 1,600 homes would be built, and that is the Jewish neighborhood of Ramat Shlomo. But another key demand to discuss the dispute's core issues during indirect talks that are planned is perceived in Israel as problematic because it implies that direct negotiations would be bypassed. This would set up a framework through which the Americans would be able to impose a final settlement. It's not just Obama's demands that are perceived as problematic, but also the new modus operandi of American diplomacy. The fact that the United States and the State Department have been in contact with Israel's European allies, first and foremost being Germany, is seen as part of an effort to isolate Israel and put enormous political pressure on Israel. Israel officials say that the Obama administration's new policies contradicts commitments made by previous administrations, as well as a letter from George Bush in 2004 to the Prime Minister at that time, Ariel Sharon. According to this view, the new policy is also incongruous with the framework posed by Bill Clinton in 2000. Senior Israeli political sources say as a result of the U.S. administration's policies, the Palestinians will toughen their stance and seriously undermine the peace process's chances of success. The next article is from the Asian Times, April the 1st, on the same subject matter. Obama is imposing a Palestinian state. U.S. President Barack Obama's demands during his meeting with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu last Tuesday point to an intention to impose a permanent settlement on Israel and the Palestinians in less than 2 years, the Israeli daily newspaper Haaretz wrote on Monday. We may draw a similar conclusion from analysis such as the one by Tony Karan in Asian Times Online. The United States, I believe this is his words, the United States-Israel rifts have widened to the point where the BBC, that's the British Broadcasting Company, recently reported that the U.S. would seriously consider abstaining if the United Nations Security Council were to vote on a resolution regarding Jerusalem against Israel. U.S. officials promptly denied the report, but in any case, the U.S. is pushing extraordinarily hard a literal interpretation. This is a strong indicator that Obama might secretly hope to impose a solution. The Obama administration might try to use Israel's dependence on the U.S., especially Israel's dependence on the U.S. at the U.N. Security Council, to force the Israelis to agree on a version of the Arab Peace Initiative and lead a chorus of condemnation against whoever drops the towel. Such a public relations sleight of hand is characteristic of Obama and has been extremely effective in U.S. Political arena. So far, Obama's pressure on Netanyahu has supported the Palestinians on four key demands: Jerusalem, settlements, and dismantling checkpoints. The lack of balance, at least in terms of overt gestures, the Americans demanded much less from the Palestinians, raises questions about Obama's impartiality. And the Israelis were quick to complain. You could say that Obama is the greatest disaster for Israel, a strategic disaster, an anonymous Netanyahu confidant told the Israeli leading newspaper Yediat Aharonot. And so these articles is communicating that Obama is putting heavy pressure upon Israel, even going as far as perhaps imposing a settlement if Israel doesn't give in to the American pressure. The next article, March the 29th, from Haaretz.com, the headline reads, "Is a serious Israel-European Union crisis in the works?" Israeli government sources say it is likely that after the current diplomatic crisis and pressure by the United States regarding the Palestinian issue, Israel will soon face an even more serious dispute with the European Union. A government source in Jerusalem said this was the concern voiced during a conference call between Foreign Ministry Director General Yossi Gal and seven of Israel's ambassadors in important world capitals. The envoys all said that if the U.S. pressure continued, the European Union would go even further in condemning Israel and promoting diplomatic initiatives. In a first extensive statement by a senior minister on the diplomatic dispute with the United States, Defense Minister Ehud Barak said continued cooperation with America was necessary to protect Israel's security. So he said, cooperating with the United States is necessary for Israel's security. Now, in essence, what he's saying, without explicitly saying it, you can effectively say that he is saying that the United States is Israel's Messiah, is Israel's security. And the prophecy in Daniel chapter 9 says, after 62 weeks, Messiah will be cut off. That if this prophecy relates to the end of days, as we're looking to see whether this interpretation is valid as it relates to a 70-year period from 1948, the cutting off of the Messiah would not be literal, but it would be entrusting in the Messiah and relying on the Messiah for Israel's security, Israel's redemption, Israel's deliverance. Ehud Barak went on to say, it was crucial to remember that the United States is friendly to Israel in a deep and substantial way. Barak underscored the key differences between his positions and those of most of Netanyahu's coalition partners. The components of the agreement are clear. In other words, the components of a future agreement to establish a Palestinian state is clear, says Barak. He says, I believe that it is our obligation to seek an agreement that sets a clear border within the land of Israel based on security and demographic considerations with the Jewish state, the state of Israel on one side with a solid majority of Jews through the generations, and the demilitarized Palestinian state on the other side with territorial, economic, and political viability. So, Ehud Barak is still iterating the parameters that the United States is seeking regarding a Palestinian state. Now, an article that I'll refer to that just came out today that I don't have the written article for, that is evangelical Christians in the United States raised money to send, I believe the number is about 800 dozen roses to Benjamin Netanyahu and say, even though the Obama administration is behaving in the way that they are toward Israel, we are supportive of you. However, Benjamin Netanyahu said he could not accept the roses because it might offend Barack Obama. And so that, I believe, is a very important sign that Netanyahu really doesn't feel totally free to do what he thinks he really wants to do. That he believes that he needs America so much that he doesn't want to, at least yet, publicly state anything that there is a legitimate conflict with the United States. The public statements is always, United States is our best friend, Israel will never have a better friend, etc. But ultimately, a Palestinian state on 67 borders, there is 9 miles between the closest point in the West Bank to the Mediterranean Sea. That cutting off those 9 miles would split Israel in two. And we all know that when the Palestinians, when they would be designated to receive the area of the West Bank, they are not going to end their conflict with Israel. And so basically, everyone knows, and Netanyahu said this in his previous term in office, that a Palestinian state does not make Israel more secure. It just appeases the United States and the international community. And Israel is not interested at this point in political isolation. And so with President Obama really ratcheting up the pressure upon Israel and making demands, and Obama wanting an answer, we should be seeing in the next week or two exactly how Israel is going to respond. And so there's only two choices. That is, Israel capitulates and not wanting to see isolation from the international community and condemnation from the United States, and agrees to the framework of a Palestinian state, the parameters of one, with some type of implementation time plan, or if Netanyahu continues to refuse to negotiate over Jerusalem, it will come most likely with Israel being isolated and perhaps even going as far as an economic boycott by the European Union and the recognition of a Palestinian state through the United Nations. But those two steps, that is a boycott against Israel by the European Union and a recognition of a Palestinian state by the United Nations, would only be tried if Europe and the United States was 100% sure that Netanyahu would never agree to a Palestinian state with East Jerusalem as the capital of that state, and they were 100% sure that no other methods would work to accomplish the goal. So that would be a last resort and not a desired path. They want to pressure Israel to agree so they can say it was a negotiated settlement. The next article from Haaretz.com, April the 2nd. The Palestinian Prime Minister Salam Fayyad tells the Israeli newspaper that there will be a Palestinian state next year. Next year, the birth of a Palestinian state will be celebrated as a day of joy by the entire community of nations, says Palestinian Authority Prime Minister Salam Fayyad in a special interview to Haaretz. Relaying Passover greetings to the Jewish community, Fayyad hopes Israelis will also participate in the celebrations for the birth of a new state. The time for this baby to be born will come, he says. What's interesting, he's liking it to a birth of a baby, because in Isaiah chapter 66, the Bible relates the birth of biblical Zion to the birth of a baby. And we estimate, says Salam Fayyad, that a PLO state will come around 2011. That is our vision and a reflection of our will to exercise our right to live in freedom and dignity in the country where we are born, alongside the state of Israel in complete harmony. He and his aides planned for the state to be born during the first term of Barack Obama, and he notes that previous U.S. administrations seriously tackled the conflict only toward the end of their second term. Next article is from World Net Daily, March the 31st, and the headline is, Obama has encouraged Palestinian resistance in Jerusalem. The Obama administration has encouraged resistance by Palestinians to protect Israel's presence in East Jerusalem, a senior Palestinian Authority official claimed to World Net Daily. The senior Palestinian official, speaking from Ramallah on condition that his name be withheld, said that in recent meetings with U.S. envoys to the region, the American diplomats supported and encouraged the concept of Palestinian protests to pressure Israel into evacuating eastern sections of Jerusalem. The Palestinian Authority official's claim followed a meeting in Jordan last week between Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas and George Mitchell, Obama's envoy to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. At a press conference immediately following the meeting, Obama declared the Palestinians' right to resistance against Israel. And in the past week, the United States has made an additional offer to Israel, and that is that Israel would have a four-month building freeze in East Jerusalem, and in exchange, there would be direct peace talks. One of the U.S. administration's requests to Israel regarding the peace process with the Palestinians is a four-month construction freeze in all parts of East Jerusalem. In exchange, the United States would pressure Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas to hold direct talks with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu instead of the indirect talks the Palestinians have agreed to. An official in Jerusalem said the U.S. administration is demanding that Israel freeze construction in East Jerusalem, including Jewish neighborhoods such as Neve Yaakov, French Hill, and of course Ramat Shlomo, which sparked the recent tensions between Israel and the United States. The freeze would last 4 months, the time frame that the Arab League has authorized for indirect talks between the Palestinian Authority and Israel. Next article. From YNetNews.com, April the 1st. Palestinian officials are in the United States for security consultations. Palestinian Interior Minister Syed Abu Ali has left for the United States together with the commander of the Palestinian Prevented Security Service for security consultations. The meetings are aimed at examining the Palestinian Authority's preparedness for taking full control of additional territories in the West Bank, which now belong to areas B and C, which is under Israeli control, that they would become a part of Area A, which is Palestinian control. The two officials will be joined by additional Palestinian officers later on. Now, this next article is from FoxNews.com, and it is comments made by former New York Mayor Ed Koch. And he is Jewish and a lifelong Democrat, and he did support George Bush in the last election for George Bush's second term, because he felt like Bush was better on security than John Kerry. However, he supported Barack Obama in this last election and encouraged Jews to vote for Barack Obama. This article is regarding him now seeing how the Obama administration is treating Israel. He says, I believe perhaps I've made a mistake in supporting Obama. And so the article reads, former New York Mayor Ed Koch expressed disappointment in President Obama on Thursday for the treatment of Israel after it announced it would continue construction in East Jerusalem, that is the section of the Holy City claimed by the Palestinians. Former New York Mayor Ed Koch explained disappointment in President Obama on Thursday for the treatment of Israel after it announced it would continue construction in East Jerusalem. I have been a supporter of President Obama and went to Florida for him, urged all Jews all over the country to vote for him, saying that he would be just as good as John McCain on the security of Israel. I don't think it's true anymore, he told Fox's News Neil Cavuto. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu got a chilly reception at the White House last week after Israel announced plans to build 1,600 new apartments for Jews in East Jerusalem during a visit from Vice President Biden. The announcement drew deep condemnation from the United States and calls to cancel the construction plans. Koch said he believed Obama orchestrated what happened in Israel. What they did is they wanted to make Israel into a pariah, he said. It's outrageous in my judgment. So I'd like to play for you that interview and this clip. Now, I'm pretty certain that the audio will go well over Paltalk. I'm uncertain how it's going to come across on Ustream, but we'll see, and hopefully it will go okay. So here's the interview. It's about 5 minutes or so.
All right, some growing indications are from Israel. You can diss them, but that doesn't mean you can bend them. Reports that Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has no plans at this moment to heed White House calls to halt settlement construction along East Jerusalem. And this despite the dressing down that photo-less session he was subjected to when he was at the White House last week. Former New York Mayor Ed Koch says good for him, not Obama, for Bibi. Ma'am?
Well,
hard stance response.
What is very difficult for me to accept, and I have been a supporter of President Obama, went to Florida for him, urged Jews all over the country to vote for him, saying that he would be just as good as John McCain on the security of Israel. I don't think it's true anymore. I believe that he orchestrated what happened in Israel. They had... We, the United States, had accepted, the Palestinians had accepted, the fact that there would be a moratorium on the West Bank, but in Jerusalem, Jews could live wherever they wanted to live and could afford to live.
So this was just for show, and that's the way they treated Netanyahu at the White House was for show?
It's not show. I think that what they did is they wanted to make Israel into a pariah. And it's really outrageous in my judgment. The shocking thing is that the supporters of Israel in Congress, you know, they had a party, you know, you can count on us, but they haven't stood up and said to the president, you're wrong on this, Mr. President.
The mayor, you're the only one in Manhattan who's saying this. Only one. So why is that?
Well, there are several reasons. Some would say Chuck Schumer, for example, is a great defender of the state
Jewish.
Of Israel.
He's Jewish. Senator of Israel.
Well, he couldn't have supported this treatment.
No, but what he says is he's working behind the scenes. And then if you talk to anybody else, they all say we're working behind the scenes. It must be very crowded there. But Chuck said that if he's unable to get the Obama administration to change his position, he will be speaking out. That's what he told me.
Change things, and regardless of policy disputes with a leader, rarely do you sequester him to a room in the White House, avoid any pictures with him, and then only a few days later greet the leader of France, with whom we've had very rocky relations, let's speak bluntly. It is weird.
Well, it's not only weird, it's unacceptable. And the fact is that what the president did was engage in discourtesy that he never shows to an ally. And Israel has been one of our closest allies. He said that on prior occasions.
Well, why do you think he really did it?
Does he want to force an election?
Does he want to force Israelis to get worried, anxious?
I believe he wants to demean Israel, blame it for the impasse. The fact is that the two prior prime ministers offered the Palestinian Authority a deal whereby they would get back 97% of the West Bank, and that the Jewish settlements on the West Bank would remain in that 3% area, and they would give equal quality land from the balance of Israel to make up for that.
So what are you?
And they rejected it.
They rejected that. That's right. So what do you then glean from a couple of days later, Sarkozy and the president both criticizing Israel? At the same time, England put out a statement that these settlements have got to stop. So I'm thinking, Mayor, I'm Iran or I'm any one of these other countries, and I'm loving this.
Of course. And I believe that the Obama administration is willing to throw Israel under the bus in order to please Muslim nations. I believe that, honestly. Now, we'll know when I'm right or wrong. The Arabs are going to try to take advantage of this situation at the Security Council to get condemnations of Israel on Jerusalem and other matters.
Well, I think we've already condemned Israel there.
No. There's no.
We didn't have a formal condemnation?
Not that I'm aware
of. All right,
of.
But now let's say... I apologize. So let's say Iran, then...
And the question is whether President Obama will veto it.
Will veto that. But Iran revs up the octane then, gets more bellicose. Then what?
Well, I believe that the Obama administration has already made a decision that they're not going to be able to stop Iran from getting a nuclear bomb, and they're going to live with it. To me, we are approaching appeasement and Munich.
Wow. Ed Koch, fiery as always. Good seeing you.
Thank you.
Continue good.
All right. That was an interview with former New York Mayor Ed Koch, and he's been a lifelong Democrat, and I believe he is, as we probably learned in school, he's just announced that the emperor has no clothes. In other words, he's saying what the situation is where the government of Israel is not willing to say how it is, and Jewish political leaders, Chuck Schumer of New York, he's Jewish, Senator of New York, and him and other Jewish leaders in the United States, especially Democrats, not willing to say how things are, what we've been sharing the last couple weeks in the five-minute update. So now, from the Jerusalem Post, this is March the 29th, Ehud Barak says Israel alone will decide issues of national importance. He says Israel needs to protect itself, and to do that we need cooperation with the entire international community. You see that? Israel needs to protect itself, and we need cooperation with the entire international community. But above all, to strengthen our relationship with the United States. So he wants to strengthen a relationship with the United States, and the United States is doing all that it can to make the Arabs happy. And he wants to strengthen the relationship with the United States. He says, our relationship with the United States is a pillar and cornerstone for Israel's security. Barak urged Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to present an Israeli peace initiative. He said that while the Americans made certain demands from Israel, what they were really interested in was knowing if Israel was with them and serious about the peace process. This is a question that bothers the U.S. administration more than the concrete request that came up before and during our last visit in the United States, he said. Barak said that in his opinion, Israel needed to strive for the establishment of a demilitarized Palestinian state with viable territorial continuity. He said that sensitive issues such as Jerusalem refugees and settlement blocks would come up during direct talks between Israel and the Palestinian Authority. A top Israeli defense official said that among the demands Netanyahu is expected to respond to and give the United States an answer regarding were requests concerning construction in Jerusalem, final borders for the future Palestinian state, as well as a series of confidence-building gestures that Obama asked Netanyahu to make, including the release of Palestinian security prisoners, the lifting of Israeli roadblocks in the West Bank, and the possible partial lifting of the blockade on the Gaza Strip. There is no urgency in responding, but we will need to reach a mutual understanding soon, the official said, adding that what was really important was a demonstration by the Israeli government that it was interested in reaching a peace agreement with the Palestinians and was willing to present a peace plan to achieve that goal. So I believe part of the pressure that Barack Obama is putting on Israel is to accomplish either Netanyahu from the pressure caving in and agreeing to a Palestinian state with East Jerusalem as the capital of that Palestinian state, or to cause friction within Netanyahu's government and create a situation where the opposition party, that is Kadima, the one headed now by Zippy Livni, was headed by Ehud Olmert, to join the government, wherein there would be a coalition government with Likud, that is the government of Benjamin Netanyahu, Labor, that is the political party of Ehud Barak, and Kadima, which is the political party of Ehud Olmert and Zippy Livni. So this article is regarding Labor ministers, that is the party of Ehud Barak, calling for Kadima to join the government at the expense of present coalition partners Israel Beiteinu and Shaz. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu must immediately add Kadima to the coalition in order to heal the rift with the United States President Barack Obama and advance the peace process, Labor ministers told the Jerusalem Post on Saturday night. Netanyahu and Labor Chairman Ehud Barak will brief the ministers in their parties on Sunday morning about their visit to the United States and their reported difficult meetings with Obama and his advisors. They will hear for the first time official reports about what Obama demands of Israel were and how Netanyahu intends to respond to them. In Labor's weekly ministerial meeting, Agricultural Minister Shalom Simchon and Minority Affairs Minister Avishai Braverman intend to suggest that the party officially call on Netanyahu to work to add Kadima to the coalition. Kadima must be in the government because we've reached a dead end, said Simchon, who is the minister closest to Barak and chairs Labor's Knesset faction. The government must have a wider basis to push negotiations forward. This is the feeling throughout the party. We're at the point where we have to start questioning our place in Netanyahu's government. Braverman added that in light of the deterioration in Israel's relations with the United States and the diplomatic stalemate, the prime minister must prove he's serious about seeking peace, and therefore there is no choice but to add Kadima to the government. The only way for Labor, Kabel said, any coalition with Israel Beiteinu, that's the party of Avigdor Lieberman, United Torah Judaism and Shas, that's Orthodox Jewish parties, has no chance to improve things. That is, with the United States in the international community. So let's summarize here what these articles told us. Number one, Obama is putting strong pressure on Israel to agree to a Palestinian state with East Jerusalem as its capital, even going as far as appearing to even be willing to possibly impose a settlement if he feels that there's no other way. And the European Union says they're even willing to go farther than the United States is going in pressuring Israel. Palestinian Prime Minister Salam Fayyad says that we expect a state in 2011. Now, I believe what he would be saying is an agreement for one, perhaps in 2010, with the actual setting it up and making it a reality, at least institutions for one, to begin to be in place in 2011. And now then is a report from senior Palestinian authority that Obama is encouraging Palestinian resistance. The United States has offered a 4-month building freeze in East Jerusalem in exchange for direct talks. And the United States is talking with Palestinian security leaders to have area that Israel controls now to be given over to the Palestinians. All of those are signs at the deep and intense pressure that the United States is currently putting on Israel, while Obama is demanding an answer regarding all of these things right away from Israel. Israel has yet to respond, even though Obama made the request that the answer be given to him by last Saturday. So we should see something coming out this week or next week at the latest from Israel regarding their answer to these things, and that will let us know what the next steps will be. Now, because these issues that are being raised primarily concern Jerusalem, I believe we are seeing the fulfillment of Zechariah in chapter 12, verses 2 and 3, where it says, "Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about when they will be in the siege," that is, try to take it over, "against Judah and Jerusalem. And in that day," that is speaking about the day of the Lord, "will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all people of the earth be gathered together against it." So the siege to take East Jerusalem is happening now. This is an event of the tribulation in the day of the Lord. And so, really, the Israeli government, because they don't want to portray a conflict with the United States, although in reality there is one, the Israeli government, Benjamin Netanyahu, is not stating that there is a conflict with the United States. They keep saying, well, the United States is our best friend, we need them. But former New York Mayor Ed Koch came out and said that, no, this is blatant behavior by the Obama administration to put pressure on Israel. And then Ehud Barak states that we need the United States and we need their support. And senior Israeli defense officials are saying, you know, we need to show the United States that we're willing to go forward in the peace process. And labor ministers, those of the party of Ehud Barak, who is in Netanyahu's government, is calling for the opposition party, Kadima, to join the government so that there can be a peace agreement at the expense of those political parties that would not want a Palestinian state in East Jerusalem as its capital, that being Israel Beiteinu, United Torah Judaism, and Shas. Now, the next article is very interesting. And it's from the Jerusalem Post, March the 29th. that there are posters on Israeli buses that ride around Jerusalem and even in East Jerusalem calling for the Third Temple. While tensions continue to simmer around the Temple Mount after riots in and around the capital's old city earlier this month, a new campaign calling for the construction of the Third Temple atop the holy site has made its way to the sides of 200 Israeli buses in Jerusalem, which now sport posters featuring a picture of a rebuilt temple on the mount and no Muslim mosque. The posters will contain the phrase, "May the temple be rebuilt speedily and in our days." They were sponsored by Our Land of Israel Group, which is led by Rabbi Shalom Dov Volpo. Now, he is a Chabad rabbi and activist Baruch Marzel. And he leads a political party in Israel. The campaign's organizers chose to plaster the posters on buses whose routes take them through predominantly Arab neighborhoods of East Jerusalem. With regards to the campaign, Rabbi Volpo said Israel is waiting breathlessly for the coming of the Messiah and the rebuilding of the temple. The Arabs and President Obama know that the temple will be built on the Temple Mount, he said, instead of the temporary buildings that are there today. Speaking to the Jerusalem Post on Sunday, Marzel said, "It was a mistake that the Islamic shrines were left out of the picture. It was no mistake. It was no mistake that the Islamic shrines were left out of the picture. We're representing the truth in front of everyone and saying out loud what every Jew believes," Marzel said, "and that is that the Third Temple needs immediately on the Temple Mount and that the mosque should not be there. When we reach the end of the Passover Seder, tomorrow night," he continued, "we'll say next year in a rebuilt Jerusalem." What does rebuilt mean? It means with the Third Temple. Marzel brushed off the furor the ads might elicit from the capital's Muslims, saying, "If it upsets them that we're alive and that we're living here, if such a basic point is going to upset them, then we might as well say what we truly believe and what we pray three times a day. That is to rebuild the Holy Temple on the Temple Mount and do it tomorrow and not wait any longer." So this is part of the conflict regarding Jerusalem and, of course, the Temple Mount. I have two more articles before we conclude the five-minute update. And the first one's from USA Today, March the 29th. And it's about the U.S. economy. And the headline says, "Small banks say they cannot win in small business lending." David Harmer didn't think that he'd have a problem getting a $50,000 line of credit for his 33-year-old air conditioning business. First Class of Cape Coral, Florida was profitable. That's the name of the bank. Harmer's net worth was $2 million. His net worth is $2 million, and he's seeking a $50,000 line of credit. And he's never been late with a loan payment. But Florida's Gulf Bank denied his application last summer, saying First Class's balance sheet didn't show a profit. Harmer explained he reclassifies corporate earnings as his wages and at year's end to lower his taxes, a technicality that hasn't posed a problem with his previous credit lines at other banks. As Harmer tells it, a bank executive was eager to approve the loan, but he said he simply couldn't. He said, "Our hands are tied because the government says you have to follow these guidelines." Florida's Gulf CEO Bill Valenti confirms regulatory scrutiny in such cases has gotten stricter, though he wouldn't discuss Harmer's loan request specifically. Across the USA, banks say there's a big reason they aren't lending more. Regulators, that is the U.S. government, won't let them. Even as the White House exhorts banks to open the lending spigots, particularly for small business borrowers who are key to job growth, banks say government field examiners are toughening their reviews in ways that discourage sound loans. So if small businesses are not able to get loans, even ones that's been in year for 30, been in business for 33 years and has a $2 million net worth, and he's just wants a $50,000 line of credit, if government regulations is preventing small businesses from getting these loans, there is not going to be an economic, a viable economic recovery. And now, because the American people aren't seeing tangible progress in the economy, this is a major reason why CBS News is reporting in a poll conducted March the 29th through April the 1st that President Obama has an all-time low approval rating. Last week, President Obama signed historic health care reform legislation into law, but his legislative success does not seem to have helped his image with the American public. In the latest CBS News poll conducted March the 29th through April the 1st, found Americans unhappier than ever with Mr. Obama's handling of health care and still worried about the state of the economy. President Obama's overall job approval rating has fallen to an all-time low of 44%, down 5 points from late March, just before the health bill's passage in the House of Representatives. It's down 24 points since his all-time high last April. 41% of those polled said they disapprove of the president's performance. And I do not believe, because the economy is not going to substantially improve, because the American people don't like the health care legislation that is passed. The elections are coming up and pressure is being put on Israel, and the Jewish vote is important to the Democratic Party. I don't think these conditions are going to improve going forward with President Obama solidifying a political divide in the United States of America. And the Bible prophesies that when Jerusalem is divided, it will bring about judgment of the nations, and what is done to Israel will be done to those who come against Israel, which means if Israel will be divided politically, then in the United States, there will be the greatest political division that there has ever been in the United States once the United States divides Jerusalem. And we see that political discontent through the Tea Party movement and other entities like it. And so I pray that the 5-minute update has been a blessing to you. It's helping to keep you abreast on the week's news events from a Hebraic Roots of Christianity perspective, how it's helping you to personally prepare for the soon and upcoming tribulation period. But be of good cheer and good heart, because if you draw close to the God of Israel, the greatest outpouring of His Spirit will be during the tribulation period that there's ever been from the time of Adam and Eve, far exceeding that of the first century. Open signs, wonders, and miracles. But you got to be in the camp of the righteous. Because just as the children of Israel came out of Egypt, and those that were outside of the camp, they suffered a calamity, you got to be in the camp of the righteous. Because this is a time that when the nations are being judged, that the God of Israel is going to gather His people from the nations and the exile and defeat the opposition and those opposing the return of the exiles. That is the beast and the beast system of Revelation chapter 13, resulting in the unification of the 12 tribes of Israel, and through it, the Messiah of Israel, that is Yeshua, the Messiah, being revealed to His people in a great way and being glorified. The celebration of this is Israel being the head of all nations when Messiah rules, once He sets His feet down on the Mount of Olives. Shalom in Yeshua the Messiah. Amen.